Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMC Press and Co. We welcome you whether you're on planet Mars. This means aliens can hear us. Brilliant! We wondered where those came from. We were all talking about it in the office. Short notes. Very quickly before we begin, we are an affiliated Blog Talk Radio Network. We would like to express the views and opinions of the hosts are not shared with any affiliates or sponsors. View discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Allison, along with Johnny and Red Hood.
Hello.
Yes, Red Hood is in. Yes. We would like you to know that AMC Press & Co. is sponsored by the Foundation for the Unity of Parasites, as well as we would like to inform you that the Congregation of Christian Scientists is now extending their membership application to all of Tom Cruise's family. Sorry, it looks like it's going to be a long, long time before you get yours. Also, where can you find us? Well, you can find it as itsmyeuros.com/AMC Press.
Ow.
And how?
I just got dropped. Ouch.
Oh. What? And you can find us on ouch.com.
No.
Just kidding.
Or
you can message us on Twitter at AMC Press 31, that's AMC Press 31. And AMC Press News, that's AMC Press News, which can be found on the same aforementioned site. Now, what's in the news today, gang? What's in the news? That's what I say.
How about you take that? How about you take that?
Well, let's see. What's in the news? Let's see. Disability in the Southern states is the problem.
That seems to be about right.
What is becoming the problem about it? Well, the fact that the shadowing of unemployment is disability is becoming a shadow of unemployment in the South. Why? Well, because how much is Social Security disability cutting into workforce participation? Shitloads. Which is a question examined from a piece of Moody's Analytics to ask him whether disability benefits are driving Americans away from seeking employment. Well, to answer your question, there are 237,000 Alabamians on federal disability. More than 6% of the population. Alabama has the second highest percentage of residents dependent on federal disability, just behind West Virginia, and the nationwide, nearly 10 million Americans, or about 3% of the population, are now enrolled in Social Security Disability Program. Moody's mentions that basically a growing percentage of prime-aged workers are reporting that they aren't in the labor force because of disability. Well, but while the amount of money and benefits are being paid out in increases that does not to appear to rise the frequency of medical conditions that we're seeing grow. And as a disability benefit. Disability benefits became easier to obtain in the labor market's deterioration, created an incentive to seek them out. Because the relationship between labor and markets and conditions and disability enrollment suggests that the program is functioning as foreshadowing long-term unemployment insurance. Now, y'all are lazy bastards. What are you suggesting? What do you think?
It's something that you can't really fix either. There's no easy way around it. If there's no jobs, how could anyone work? Possibly.
This used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, this used to be the place where anybody could get a job. Right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
I am right. But now...
I know you're right.
But now it's not.
Yeah, and it's quite unfortunate, too.
It's unfortunate in... many things. You know?
Yeah.
The thing about it, it's really, how in the world are we supposed to keep jobs in this country, right, if we keep exporting them?
Exactly.
Right. It's like, it tends to become extremely, it's almost like saying, oh, no, we don't care about our employees.
I don't think it's that. I really don't.
No, but it's a way of them saving money, which in turn tells them, okay, we need to save money, so what's the best way of going about it?
Well, what's the best way of going about what, exactly?
About... it could be outsourcing. It could be them wanting to save money due to something happening. You can't really...
In terms of what, exactly?
In terms of why do companies outsource? It's because they're either A, spending too much money, B, they are doing something... they're doing something that would hinder them from getting to go and do certain things.
Or C, they want cheaper labor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's scary. Because most of our stuff, right? Right, that is to say American-made stuff. Okay, is made in Pakistan.
Or China.
Or what?
China.
But yeah, a lot of foreign-made stuff is made in the United States.
of course it is.
It's like a Subaru's headquarters, like, U.S. headquarters, like New Jersey.
Exactly. But yet, I think the fucked up thing is that, you know, most people, if you are anything, you know, it is very hard to actually, you know, exist in the United States.
Yeah. And then groups complain about issues with jobs. How about jobs stay here?
Yeah.
I mean, more, so...
Well, there is a thing... In terms of why would they want to stay here? When we can
employment
and get more money.
Yeah, but who is it hurting? It's hurting you. It's hurting everyone. Have a point. Do.
Well,
most
it's hurting
people,
everyone. But that's why you create companies. That's why you create...
Yes.
You rise up from the little person.
Yeah.
Right? Am I right?
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
I mean, that's why people have shit to do. You know, most people, if they're worth anything, right, and they're on disability, guess what the favorite of out of all disability people is? It's forming non-profits so that we don't have to work for the man.
Right.
Right? Or as our parents will probably say, the man. Right? So, in any way, or in every way, what in the world are they complaining about? All they have to do is form companies.
Yes, but sometimes people don't have that ability.
Well, use the funds that you have. Meaning, use the fucking funds that you get from the government to start the company. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, that's what you do. With the increase being what it is, it's going to happen. Right?
Yes.
Use that increase to help you gain your own fucking employment.
Yes, but... Or get a new skill.
Yes, but the trouble is with us, right? The 21st century people, right? We'll need to train the baby boomers in how to use Facebook, or Twitter, or LinkedIn.
Right.
The question is, do we want to?
Very true.
The question also is, when does it become enough? You know what I mean?
right.
When does it become enough? And when does it even become a thing where you can actually tangibly feel? You know?
Right.
Rather than somebody going, oh yeah, you know, oh yeah, we can actually do this. You know? What I have trouble believing is the lack of people who are going, damn it, give us more money. Well, if we give you more money, then what are you going to do with it?
And then there's people that are like us saying, let's take that money and actually do something with it.
Yeah.
To benefit. To fight.
And we are benefiting society by hosting this podcast. That's not
yes.
all we're having. We're not hanging our hats on that alone. That's the thing. You know, we have different skills. If you bring skills to what you love, well, guess what? Kaboom!
Yeah.
Possibilities come. You know?
You just gotta find what's right for you.
Well,
yeah.
You have to find what's right for you.
And just
but
go
you,
with it.
Also, have to find your niche.
Yes.
You know, the niche.
You mean niche?
You mean niche,
I believe.
You say niche, I say niche. Niche, tomato, tomato.
Let's not call the whole thing off.
Exactly. Thank you. Somebody agrees with me. The thing is that you have to find your own niche. I mean, Nietzsche found his own niche even. And I'm talking about a god here. He said, fuck off everything, I don't care. Right? People... Right, nobody else... I don't think... in the world can't do anything. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
Somebody also once said to me, I can't win. And I said to them, well, look at what you've done already. And they said, well, yeah, you're right. And I said, you bet I'm right. Because you found your niche. And once you found your niche in society, society tends to say, oh, we'll do something with that person. Right?
Right.
Yes.
I mean, that's what they have to do.
Right.
Find their niche.
Yes.
You know, find the niche, and then, and then go with it.
Yes.
Don't be like, oh yeah, it's just, I can't do anything.
No!
Like, oh, no, no, no.
It's like, please.
Oh, no. Please shut up. I mean, please just go to work. Seriously. It's like, Glenn Gregg and Ross. He tells him, go to lunch. No, go to work. I mean, there are podcasts like ours, and we work to bring you the best thing. Speaking of, it's 10:30. Let's continue the logo, shall we?
Yes, I agree.
What
should?
What? What's the next topic, Allison?
How about you? How about go to our word for our sponsors? I think. How about you do?
Yes.
How about Johnny takes this next one?
Yes, and now a word from our sponsors. Hello. This is Drive Through RS. Can I get a hold of Gordon Ramsay, please? No? Well, why not? Yeah, I know he's busy. But Jesus Christ. He's English. I'm English. Maybe we can... No filet mignon? Okay. So, Johnny, what happens?
How about Johnny takes this one?
So, let's see. Dude really trolls Burger King callers. But
what happened?
Apparently, they got their phone numbers mixed up.
I mean, and this guy...
He also number was mixed up with the actual number for a nearby Burger King.
Wow.
You guys, honestly, y'all have to listen to the bunch of prank calls that this person did. It's absolutely hilarious. It really is. If somebody were prank phoning trolling my line, and I were absolutely gobsmacked that they were trying to get my phone for Burger King, I'd be doing what this bastard did anyway. You know? I would be definitely trolling some people. You know, I would definitely do that. I would have the luxury of doing it in a succinct way. For example, if you listen to just some of the stuff, right? He had people coming at 7:30 to chop the chickens and clean up the feathers for an hour. You know, I would say, no, you have to be like chicken and then kill yourself. That's what I would do. But at the same time, I think that, you know, if I was this person, one poor dear called in and said, I need to, be I need to basically, I need to get my schedule. And they said, well, what was your name? Oh, yeah, you were supposed to report to work at 7:30 this morning. Well, you missed that. I mean, Jesus. I mean, Johnny, I think in terms of these prank calls, there was a series loads of years ago called Crank Anchors.
Oh yes, Crank Anchors, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was,
Yay!
You talking about it? Yeah, kind of thing. But yeah, I think the funny thing about the funny thing about it is also yeah, there was a Jerky Boys. That's what it was. I mean, the Jerky Boys were great. I mean, I was laughing my ass off. I mean, they still exist, by the way. But the, the funny thing about it is,
Like, I remember Crank Yankers.
I mean, yeah, but,
that
you
was,
know...
That was some funny stuff, that's for sure.
Well, Crank Yankers was great, but the predecessor before Crank Yankers is the Jerky Boys. The Jerky Boys... were hilarious in the fact that, like, all their stuff is just hilarious in
suddenly it got quiet again.
Oh. Yeah, suddenly it got quiet. Allison will be out for the evening, and I will be taking over. So, I mean, we were talking about the Jerky Boys, right?
Yeah.
So, the Jerky Boys, if you trace the history of prank calling, okay, all the way back to 1989, the Jerky Boys cut from Queens, right? Their current record label, the act has sold over 8 million copies. Like we were saying before, find your niche,
yeah,
and it will come. I mean, you have to sort of find your niche.
You know, it's like, you know, like a field of dreams. If you build it, they will come.
And they have come to ours, and they continue to come. They continue to come for really fun stuff. But now, you know, we have satire. We do satire. And we do satire really well. But, in only of the fact that this is a different type of satire. Because a lot of the satire that we do is disability satire. This is a kind of satire where, you know, your only instrument is a phone.
Yeah.
Our only instrument is a phone. You can do anything with a phone. Right?
Yeah.
You can do anything with a phone. But the funny part about the phone is that you can make anything sound real with sound effects and everything like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that once you have the niche that you want, right, you can do anything with it. Nobody's telling you what to do, right? Nobody told us to go host this.
Yeah.
You know, we did it on our own. And then they came, and they're still coming. So...
So we thank you for that.
And we thank you for that. We really do. However, the hilarious thing about it is, the hilarious thing about all of this is, you know, this guy also took the initiative to basically falsify somebody else's schedule as well, you know. He had somebody coming in at 4:30 a.m. and the next day that the customer insisted that she wanted but was never charged for the extra cheese that she didn't get in her order. Pretty damn funny. But now the funnier thing is having the all these prank calls, right? The point of a prank call is to invent characters online, right? So, if I'm on the corner and going, yeah, I'm on the corner but I'm really in an apartment, that's a prank call, you know.
Like, is your refrigerator ringing? Better go catch it.
Better go catch it. Prank call. Do you have pants to open in the can? No? Well, you better get him. That's the best one. But if you have something else, you know, in mind, use it. Nobody's saying don't use it. Nobody's saying don't use it. Use everything you got. That's why you have more shit. I mean, the research that was done on the prior piece that we did earlier in the show about the Alabamans, right? If they would just stop complaining and say it's shadowing,
sorry, that was
I'm sorry.
My phone is fully charged up.
What?
See, my phone is fully charged up. That's why you're that.
Right. Finally. But yet, I mean, it isn't also very interesting that now, more than ever, interior designers are also trying to focus on colors that will better suit those who have autism to help the treatments that they can be receiving. The colors help them calm down or provide them a way to learn more about colors in their rooms and their homes. This comes to us from Disability Scoop. Well, Disability Scoop is awesome, for one, for its news, two, for the fact that in Minneapolis, A.J. Barone Wilder's home is a walkout rambler in suburban Oak Park Heights, Minnesota. It's sturdy and calm and clean, uncluttered with spaces and earthy and in neutral hues that echo the autumn leaves in views from St. Croix River. On the afternoon, her daughter Eva, 6 years old, is having an after-school snack while son Devin, 19, sketches intensely on seated at the at his studio desk in his orderly bedroom. It's a peaceful environment entirely by design. When you have children with autism, calm is a precious commodity. Yet this person has become an expert in creating it, starting with her own home. We started 16 years ago when Devin was diagnosed with autism at age 3, and it was very traumatic. And at the time, Devin didn't even speak, but he was prone to explosive tantrums when he was upset or confused. He would drop to the floor and start screaming, and she and her husband stopped bringing Devin to the grocery store on the other errands because they never knew what might trigger an eruption. We'd have to drop and leave everything and leave. Peridon Wilder was a very young interior designer, only recently graduated from the University of Minnesota, and I thought that there would be some great research about designing spaces for children with autism, but she was wrong, and there is nothing. Everything was done in the 70s, when the kids were institutionalized. Well, that's a word that we see every day, right? Institutionalized, yeah. Right?
Right.
And institutionalized basically means fucking put in your place and told to actually stay and color in between the lines. Yeah. We don't color in between the lines, ladies and gentlemen. We don't.
That's what I found out, like, why should I color inside the lines where I can stick out like a sore thumb? But you know what I mean.
Sometimes sticking out like a sore thumb is good.
Yeah. Right. Be different, people. Different is good.
Different is brilliant. You know. But yes. This person kept continuing. She read books about autism or pulled out of studies about neurological workings of the brain and became fascinated by different ways people with autism perceive colors, patterns, and lights. She tried to design and determine what elements would trigger difficult behavior and then did the opposite, learning through trial and error. You really can't get this information by asking, is this too bright for you? Does this make you dizzy? Do you have to watch for cues? Devin was watching for the cues, and is a necessary strategy with children with autism who usually develop skills much later than their peers. And those who have difficulty struggle, right?
Right.
They crave order and are easily distracted by its absence. They read meaning into seemingly random visual signals and tend to be hypersensitive to the harsh artificial light, to environmental toxins. And her mother learned that Crayola the Bright busy spaces most people consider kid friendly, like Ronald McDonald grew up, but are so stimulating that they can easily confuse and overwhelm children with autism. She remembers her taking her youngest, Devin, to speech therapy in a room which was with a jungle gym and kids running around screaming, and the lesson was going nowhere until she suggested a closet or moving it to a closet would be the only quiet space available there. There, Devin started to respond. The information about autism and design may have been scarce when her own wildest began searching for it, but it's changing autism. It's very interesting because a lot of the things that we take for granted, like color, right? Color has a lot to do with stuff, you know. And she also can consult schools as well, and medical facilities and other organizations that children with autism and their families have. Most of her consulting work is done pro bono. And at this point, she could probably deal with autism-related skills in full time, but she likes working on a wide range of projects. And if my whole life was autism, I'd probably lose perspective. On a recent consulting gig, involved the process of working with designers from Perkins and Will on a new space for the Frazier Center. A program in which Devin attended from ages 3 to 6, and the designers transformed a former Lifetime Fitness office into a speech occupational therapy site for children with autism and others. Treatment rooms and meltdown areas where children often struggle with transitions from one activity to another are quiet and neutral. It's easier to add color than to take it away. And in other areas, brighter hues are used to finding cues guiding children down hallways, color-coded cubbies. Other flooring kept simple if you used a pattern. Kids will follow it. Obviously, this works for ADHD people too as well. And people with Asperger's and stuff like that. We follow patterns. We don't follow mis... If you give us misconstruction, we won't follow that. If you give us other things, right, play with, we'll follow those.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think that's the key. It's patterns. It all comes down to patterns. One of the biggest complaints she says in the sentence is that parents feel like they're in an institution. Well, it's kind of funny, don't you think, Johnny?
Yeah.
When parents feel like they're in an institution, they don't even take a look at their kids. You know?
Right.
Take a look at the kid once in a while. Check on how he or she is doing. What's going on? You know? What is going on in terms of stuff? You know? Realize, like, I used to have a white room, right? I used to have a white room. And the white room basically was, I didn't like it, you know?
Yeah. There's got to be some color in here.
It's what?
There's got to be some color in here. Something's got
to pop out. Oh, exactly. I didn't like white one bit. But yet, yet the funnier thing about this is how in the world you appease these people. It gets very interesting. So they found, between all of this, they found another kid's house with plenty of separation between the rooms, and Devin has a large bedroom with a loft ceiling and a big window overlooking the river. It's really quite quiet up here. The 6-year-old says it doesn't bother him, and his mother has loads of natural sunlight and views, which he loves studying through a telescope, and there's even an adjacent Lego room where you can read three and build elaborate structures. Devin didn't want to move at first because transitions are difficult and threatened to run away. But soon he adjusted, and he's so comfortable. He loves the space. And now they have zero issues. It's just quite a cool story, you know.
See, about 7 years ago, I got a new space. Actually,
In what way did you get a new space?
They actually moved places. Now I can look outside. I can look outside and see there's a big tree right out front.
Right.
It's like, I'm like more with nature over here.
And what was it before?
It was like second floor looking out at a parking lot before.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, looking at it from a parking lot versus looking at a tree.
Like,
I took the tree as a parking lot.
You were, like, right off the highway. Like, it was noisy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Especially right off of Route 1.
Oh, yeah.
Like hundreds of thousands of cars going by every day.
I know. But now, this cover, final article of the night comes out of Huffington Post UK, which is apparently Kickstarter. Kickstarter is now, in terms of Kickstarter, is now Project Hemingway, and which aims to bring back the typewriter. That's pretty damn cool. The typewriter as a laptop. It aims to bring back the distraction-free qualities of the typewriter in the modern age by combining a high-quality keyboard with an e-link display. It's incredibly simple. You literally turn it on and start typing. Documents are then automatically saved into a cloud to e-link's display, and you'll be able to type for days before the battery runs out. So this is the kind of thing that I had and they had given to me when they were saying, oh, could I use the technology to write, like, in the classroom? But yet, how much does one of these quirky typewriters cost? Well, the starting price in American dollars is $349. However, if you're thinking of buying one in the UK, then expect shipping to add a fair chunk into that. The high goal of $250,000, Hemingway has already managed to acquire $179,629, and there's still dollars, and there's still 43 days to go. So, the moral of the story is, if you want to contribute to this project, do. It's fantastic. It's great. But don't take our word for it. And that brings us to another end of the week. And, well, here's our end of show credits.
Bring back this, the typewriter. Yeah.
Exactly. Bring back the typewriter. Exactly. Exactly. But now, here's our end of show credits. This episode was produced by AMC Press & Co. Our sound wizard is Johnny Dubell. Our drivers are Hooves and Tastebook. Our intern is Rita Wilson. Her intern is Jimmy Buffett. They should be coming in a long time. Fine. Jimmy Buffett's intern. What?
Because, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock in Margaritaville. Her intern is Jimmy Buffett, not to be confused with Tycoon Warren Buffett. And Jimmy Buffett's intern is Emma Stone, and Emma Stone's intern is Lindsay Lohan, and they get along fine. And Lindsay Lohan's assistant is Rodeo Donald. Our show is produced by speaking into microphones. Our microphones are speaking into microphones. And our newest cast members are Elaine Goodman and Amanda Cavanaugh. This concludes our show for tonight. Tune in next week when we have another full series episodes of AMC Press & Co. and more disability news. Have a great night.
And night. More nonsense, probably. Maybe.
And more nonsense. Encourage the nonsense. It's good.
Good night, everybody.
Anyway. Good night.